guys, welcome back to this podcast, and thank you so much for clicking on it. I don't think I'll stop being thankful for everything that you guys are doing and for all the love and support. So first, I'd like to apologize for the inconvenience about me changing the episode's date from Wednesday to Friday. I just thought Friday would be more convenient since, you know, school and stuff. But yeah, point is, I'm still going to be releasing. And yeah, so I'm hoping that today's episode won't take too much time, although we do have a lot of things to talk about. So I'm going to try and, I don't want to rush it, but yeah, I hope you get my point. Yeah, so today's topic is relationships, and mostly toxic ones, toxic relationships, stroke situationships. So I'm hoping you guys know what a situationship is. So we're just going to move on. And yeah, I had told you guys to send me your experiences with toxic people in your life before. And as always, you guys did not fail to amuse me. So I'm going to read some of those stories, and I'm really hoping that you guys will enjoy them with me. Yeah, and yeah, so let's just start. So the first story, it starts like this. This man, let's say he double texts and I reply to one text, he'll say I'm being disrespectful and insult me, literally. Then right after insulting me, instead of apologizing, he just said, I love you, and assume I'm not hurting. Then he used to expect me to be online when he's online. If I don't reply to him on time, he'd say I'm cheating on him, then apologize again. That was the most toxic and draining relationship ever, and I'm so glad I'm out. I'm also so glad you're out. I can see how he was manipulating you and telling you these things and then apologizing after. Yeah, in case you didn't know, apology without change is manipulation. So if someone is keeps apologizing for something and they keep doing that thing, just know you're being manipulated. So I'm happy you got out of that relationship. And yeah, also, if you hear any background noise like of a plane, just excuse it. I live near Wilson Airport, so yeah, just don't mind it. I'll try to be loud enough. Okay, the second story starts like this. There's a guy, I'm going to call him X. Now, this guy X, he was literally Kimani. I'm literally sure if I tell you his name right now, utajua too. Anyways, I heard he changed, so I'll keep the name. This boy was the embodiment of everybody. Then now, I had a huge thing for him, and he pretended it's reciprocated. Then one day he asked me to be his girlfriend, passively, and I said no because I felt like he was playing with my mind. Okay, I'm going to pause there. If your gut tells you something, please, please, please listen to it. Please, because most of the time your gut is right. And if you keep seeing red flags from this person and you keep ignoring them, thinking you're going to see the good in them eventually, it's not going to end well for you. Literally, it's not going to end well for you. But yeah, okay, we continue. I felt like he was playing with my mind. 2 weeks later, I found out he asked my close friend the same exact thing. So me and her come to him because hey, mbona wewe ni ashao. And then he got mad and started telling me how what he does is none of my business and the two of us should be good friends to each other, because why are we talking to the same guy? But for real, kwani who talks about situationship, Aish? Then he gaslighted me and told me there was nothing ever between us and I was just imagining things. That is true. That is actually gaslighting. In case you don't know what gaslighting is when someone convinces you that what you're saying is not true, even though you saw or you know it's the truth. So in a long period of time, you start asking yourself if you're actually delusional or imagining things. So that's gaslighting. And yeah, so that's the end of the second story. The third story was quite interesting, quite sad, quite funny, but has an it has a happy ending. So it starts like this. When I was 13, I dated a guy that was 18. I know. Pedophilia. I was in class 7 and he was in form 3. He told me lies like, "You're so mature for your age," and love bombed me with a lot of compliments. Due to my naivete, within a span of 1 week, we were dating. Which is understandable because you're in primary. Things like this get you excited, you know. So if someone asks you to be their girlfriend or boyfriend at that time, it was quite exciting. Yeah. Continuing, I was new to the dating scene, and dating an older guy in high school while I was still in primary was quite exciting, at least at the time. And most of my friends were doing it since it was seen as cool. 1 week into the relationship, he tried to manipulate me and ask me for nudes and twerking videos, saying that if I don't send them, he would fall out of love. I was scared, especially since he was in high school, and I thought he could potentially ruin my reputation to our mutual friends. I asked my friend for advice since I was very uncomfortable with the idea. She was actually the most mature out of all of us, and she told me not to send and to break up with him and to block him. To this day, I am thankful that she got me out of something that I would potentially regret and hate myself for. So yeah, so shout out to that friend that helped you, because I'm sure he would have ruined your life probably. You never know the intentions of these guys, especially even when you're still a minor. So yeah, I'm happy that it has a happy ending. Okay, so the fourth story... The fourth story is quite long, has a lot of twists, but yeah. Oh, by the way, disclaimer, all the names that I'm going to say are highly, highly, highly fictional. If you hear a name of someone you know and they have a similar story, please know that it is highly coincidental. Yeah, so none of the names I'm using here refers to the actual person. Yeah. So this story happened to Jeremiah, and it happened in a boys' school. So in form 4, Jeremiah had a thing with Brian. So him and Brian were, yeah, they just liked each other, blah, 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 blah. But Brian had a crush on another girl. Let's call this girl Tori. So Jeremiah liked Brian, Brian liked Tori. It was like a love triangle. Yeah, so... No, wait. No, it's not a love triangle. Sorry. Yeah, so... Since Jeremiah fallen in love with Brian, he asked Brian if they could be something more, but Brian refused. And yeah, so... Yeah, he refused. So... Jeremiah would give Brian silent treatment, and then Brian would gaslight him and tell him and ask him why he had stopped talking to him, yet it was Brian who's the one who stopped talking first. So Brian made Jeremiah feel like it was his fault that they were not talking, yet it was Brian's fault. So yeah, so because of this, Jeremiah entered a situationship with Isaac. So they were a thing eventually, but then they broke up. So after they broke up, him and Brian came on good terms. They were good. Until one day, everything just came crashing down. Like, it just came out of nowhere. Okay, so Jeremiah told me that there were days when Brian was good. Like, he did all these things for Jeremiah, but some days he was just moody, he didn't want to talk to him, blah 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 blah. Yeah, so this day he told Jeremiah that he doesn't want to be with him because he left him because Jeremiah left Brian for Isaac, and Brian blamed Hey, I'm getting confused. Brian blamed Jeremiah for losing friends because he said that now his friends were questioning his sexuality and he didn't want any of that. And because of this, Brian started looking at Tori again. So this broke Jeremiah's heart. And yeah, so Jeremiah told his best friend everything about how Brian was treating him and how he was so like sad about this whole thing. And then the best friend told him, just leave Brian alone. Like, he's going to hurt you. It's not going to end well for you. And when Brian heard that Jeremiah told his best friend, he got mad saying, oh, you know, we have mutual friends. He's going to tell everyone that we had a thing. And yeah, all that. Anyway, by the time they were finishing high school, they were not on good terms. But thankfully, right now, they are on good terms. So at least this is a good ending for Jeremiah. So Jeremiah, I hope right now you've healed and you're moving on to someone better. Yeah, so I think that was the fourth story. The fifth story happened to a girl called Ruth. So Ruth met this guy, and this guy was good. Like, it always, you know, toxic relationships always start off well. Like, hey, you're talking every day. And yeah, it started off well. This guy gave her princess treatment. Everything she wanted, he got it for her. You know, it starts well. It started well. They talked. Ruth even told me that he set the standard for her. So she can't even settle for less right now. Like, it has to reach that standard. And yeah, but as I quote, in Nairobi, it's always too good to be true. So yeah, so this guy had a very toxic side of him. Like, you know, the toxic side of people always comes out, like, when you're in deep kabisa, deep into the relationship. That's when you start seeing the red flags. Now it's up to you to decide whether you want to stay and see how red the flag can get, or you just decide to leave before they get worse. But unfortunately, Ruth stayed. So he had a very toxic side. It used to show a lot. And she gave me an example. So they went to the Uncle Waffles concert, and they stayed together the whole night. Yeah, of course, like, we're dating, of course we're going to stay together the whole night. And at around 1, the boy told Ruth, hey, let me go look for my friends, I'll come meet you later. So they separated. Like, he went his own side, and then Ruth took her friend to the Uber place. Yeah, because the Uber had come for her friend. So after she took her friend, they came back and then they met again. And then the boy stays a bit, sees a bit, and then he's like, okay, let me go again, I'll be right back. So Ruth is like, aight. Like, she didn't think much of it because it's a concert. People go everywhere, anytime during the concert. So it wasn't that big of a deal for her. And yeah, so when she was standing with her friend, the friend taps, and then the friend is like, see, this is your boyfriend. And then when she turns, she sees the boyfriend full on making out with someone else in front of her. Like, he had the audacity to make out with another girl in front of the girlfriend. Yani hata angeenda kujificha. And somebody, let me just do it here. Like, if she sees, that's her problem. And the one thing that men are blessed with, it's the audacity. So yeah, so Ruth just looked at him, and then I don't know if the boy knew that Ruth was seeing Ama, he didn't care. But anyway, after he finished making out with that girl, he came, told Ruth, can you please take me to my brother's car? He's come for me. And then Ruth was like, what? Like, you're literally telling me to take you to the gate after you've cheated on me right in front of my eyes. But yeah, so that was one incident. And the second example she sent is when they were dating, he used to send these tweets and the Instagram of some other girl, and the boy used to say, oh, you know, this is my crush, like, I like her so much, she's so hot. And this whole time, Yani, you're telling that to your own girlfriend. It's like my boyfriend coming to me and sending me someone's pictures, and he's like, hey, this girl is so hot, you know, I like her, I'd like to be with her. Of course I'd feel like shit, because what do you mean, like, just, you just leave me, Basi, and then you go for her. And I think now, looking back at this story, I feel like he knew what he was doing. I think he just wanted to push her away. You get. But yeah, I hope you're healing right now. And it's good that he at least set a standard, you know. But it's true. In Nairobi, it's always too good to be true. If something is too good to be true, you better be prepared for the worst. Okay. So the sixth story happened to a girl called, let's call her Ali. So Ali was going through a very bad breakup, and yeah, she just needed something to take her mind off of that. She just needed to distract herself from reality, because you know, when you've been with someone then you leave them, it's quite a rocky road. So her and her friends went to a bar or a pub. They went to a pub and they were just having fun, and then she met this guy at the pub. So they talked a bit, exchanged numbers, and then they started talking on the phone. So see, they're talking. And then they decided to meet. So to her, the first red flag came when he was being very touchy on the first link. I think that's a red flag to me too. Like, we've not even known each other that much for you to be that touchy. You get, especially if you're looking for a relationship and not a situationship, then it's really off. It's just... Why are you that touchy? Yeah, so this boy was more... I think this boy was just using her for his horniness. Like, he was just horny, so he needed someone. And yeah, so the first link, he was very touchy. And because of this, Ali went, told her friends, by the way, I think this guy is taking advantage of me. Because why... Like, he doesn't... Like, he's just being too physical for someone who we've not been talking that long. And the friends at first didn't say anything, but then they talked to him. And this boy basically said that it was Ali who was taking herself to him. And that every time these are plots, she never refuses. She's basically okay. He basically said that she's basically throwing herself to him. And when she asked him whether they would ever be a thing, he was like, no, I don't even feel anything for her. And that he was basically just horny. So yeah, so I know men are like that. Some men. Yeah. So there was another story. This one is still happening to my friend. So if you're hearing this and you know it's you, please seek help. Because we've tried to tell her a lot of times to leave this guy, but because this guy is very toxic to her and she's not seeing him. She's not seeing it. Yeah, so she told me the one time she realized that this boy was actually very toxic was when I think they had gone clubbing together at Alchemist, and she was tired or she was blacking out. So she entered the car. It was his car. They entered the car and then she was sleeping at the back. So when she's opening her eyes and she's seeing another girl in the front seat. And this boy is talking to this girl like anamsuka-suka, you get, like in a flirty manner, like even touching her thighs and all that, lying on her shoulder. So my friend is just like looking, okay, let's call her Joanne. So Joanne is just looking at them like, hey, Yani, I'm right here and you're disrespecting me like this. I mean, no, they're not in a relationship, but they're that close. They're that close. They're not in a situationship either, but they're close enough. You get. But yeah. So Joan was just like, eh, kwani? How nioni? Yeah, so the boy tapped Joan to see if she's still asleep. Of course, Joan was not asleep, but she had to pretend that he doesn't suspect anything. So see, after he quote unquote confirmed that Joan is asleep, he continued like touching this girl's thighs, lying on her shoulder. So Joan just left the car, ordered the Uber, and went home. Then the next morning, this boy asks her, what did I do wrong? And then, of course, she explained, but who is Joan? Like, we've told this girl so many times, please leave this boy, please leave this boy. He's just going to hurt you. And she keeps leaving him, but she keeps folding. That's the bad thing. Joan, if you're listening, I'm really hoping that you are able to get out. Personally, as what I heard of telling you to leave, because utafunzwa tu na ulimwengu. Aya. Then the final story happened to one of my schoolmates, and the funny story is that this is the ex-boyfriend. The ex-boyfriend is someone that I know very well. Yeah. So I'm going to name her. I'm going to name her Shiko. So Shiko was in a relationship with this guy. This guy was so toxic. Yani, he was so toxic to this girl. She used to tell us the stories, and I was just like, how are you even still in a relationship with this guy? Like, he did, like, yani, everything he does is just a red flag, and you're still in a relationship with this guy. Like, seek help, bro. Anyway, so I'm going to say one of my favorite stories from her, from their relationship. I'm happy that she finally got out of that relationship, even though this boy is basically now threatening her. But yeah, so this happened at the end of last year. I don't remember what they did. I don't remember what he did that they stopped talking, but yeah, it had reached a point where they had stopped talking. And yeah, so one day she's at home and she comes, someone's at the door. So she goes and opens the door and finds the boy. So the boy's like, Shiko, why are you doing this to me? Blah, 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 blah. Can you just, like, talk to me? And then Shiko's like, no, I have to go to the salon. Because she was leaving and the mom was in the house. So he's like, no, I have to go to the salon. Can you talk about this later? So the boy is like, no, I don't want to talk about this later. I want us to talk about it now. But Shiko is in a hurry. She needs to go. The Uber is already there. Her sister is waiting for her. The Uber driver is waiting for her. Like, everyone's waiting for her to leave. But this boy is clinging himself to her. So she's like, I need to go. Like, can you just leave me alone? We'll talk later. Then he's like, no, I want to talk about it now. So when she's going to enter the car, he refuses, like, he blocks the door. So now Shiko can't even enter the car because this boy wants to talk to him. I mean, wants to talk to her for something wrong that he did. So Shiko's like, what are you doing? Like, I need to go. Can you please get out of the door? Then he's like, it's either we're talking right now or we're going together. So he's like, you can't go with me. You have to stay here. What? Let's give him a name. I'm going to call him Tevin. So he's like, Tevin, you can't go with me. You need to go home. Please go home. So Tevin is like, no. So long story short, he ends up going with them. So in the car, he keeps on like trying to convince Shiko to talk to him. So he's like, okay, Shiko, please talk to me. And then he starts gaslighting and telling telling, no, not gaslighting, guilt tripping. So he starts telling her, why are you doing this to me? I've done all these things for you. I've bought you all these things, and this is how you treat me. This is how you pay me back, blah, 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 blah. So this whole time is just a show for the Uber driver and the sister. You know, I'm pretty sure Uber drivers have the most interesting days with whatever they go through every day. But yeah, so the whole time Shiko is listening to her music on her earphones, and Tevin is trying so hard to, you know, to talk to her. So finally they reach the salon, and she sat down, she's getting her hair removed, and Tevin is still there. Yani Adel Pelekwa salon. So Tevin is sitting there talking, trying to talk to Shiko. Okay, Shiko, please talk to me. Okay, Shiko, please talk to me. Shiko isn't talking to him. Then he starts raising his voice, saying, Shiko, why are you doing this to me? Now, you know, the thing about salons is that it has women. The thing about women is that wanapenda udaku. And the moment they just hear an argument, they'll do anything to be there, to be first-hand witnesses of this argument. So when he started like shouting, these wamamans for the salon now start coming in, trying to see, hey, Kwani, what's happening. So the sister is the one who stood up to him, and then he's like, Tevin, you need to stop doing this, like, you're attracting attention, please just go, you're going to talk about it later, you know how Shiko is stubborn, blah, 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 blah. So he's like, fine. Then that ends there. So the next day they were going to get their hair plaited. So while they were finishing up on the plaiting, one of their friends like texted them, and then he's like, do you guys want to go for cocktails? And then they're like, yeah, we are here, please just come. You'll just wait for us. And he's like, sour. So see, after they finish, they go home. And then, when the boy takes them to his house, guess who they see? Tevin. So Tevin is there seated. And the friend is like, I'm so sorry he forced me to do this. Like, he's crashing. She could just talk to him. So Shiko went to the boy, and then the boy gave her a dress that he bought for her, and like, oh, here's the dress, I got it delivered today. Then it's like, oh, thank you. So they're talking, but it's awkward, they didn't really reconcile. But yeah, the thing is, they were going to Conscience together. Was Conscience this year? Yeah, I think Conscience was this year. Yeah, it was. So they're going to Conscience, and it was just, I think it was just 2 days to 31st. So yeah, so those 2 days pass, they don't talk, and then the day for Conscience comes. So they were going to pregame at Malu Malu, and it was Tevin who was driving. So in the car, it was Tevin, the driver, Shiko, the sister, one of their friends. No, two of their friends in the car. So when they're about to enter the car, of course, okay, she's in a big friend group, and there's that car, Tevin's car, and then there's an Uber. So they had split, and then some of them are like, oh, us are going in the Uber. Then, of course, Shiko was using Tevin's car together with the sister and the mutual friends. But the thing is, she couldn't want to sit at the front. So she was saying that I'm not sitting at the front. If he doesn't allow me to sit at the back, I'm using the Uber. So Tevin is like, I'm not going to drive this car until Shiko comes and sits in front. So everyone in the car, in the back, is just like, okay, Shiko, please just enter. Please just enter the car. We need to go. It's getting late. And then she goes like, no, I don't want to go. I don't want to sit on the front seat. And then the sister just persuaded her and just told her, it's just for tonight, please. So she goes like, fine. So she sits eventually. And then they start the journey to Malu Malu. So all of a sudden, in the middle of the journey, this boy got some kind of road rage. I don't know what triggered him or what made him angry. So probably that whole situation. But yeah, he just got this road rage and then started speeding. So everyone in the car is like, Connie, what's happening? What's happening? What's wrong? And then she goes like, Tevin, please just relax, relax. What are you doing? We're going to die, blah, 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 blah. And for some reason, I think Tevin, I don't know, he wasn't listening. So everyone was telling him to like slow down, but he just keeps on like moving faster. So he was, so to the car in front of him, he kept like going closer and closer each time. He was actually really close to hitting the car. So every time he gets close, he hoots. And yeah, it was, of course, that causes a lot of disturbance, but thankfully they reached Malomalu safely. So Shiko decides, I'm not going to talk to this boy. So she told me that the one thing that Tevin hated about Shiko was when Shiko talked to other niggas, like when he was there, which was toxic because he would do the same exact thing, like talk to other girls, hug them, blah, blah. But whenever Shiko tried to hug a friend, blah, blah, he would get mad, which I've never understood till this day. Yeah, so Shiko is like, okay, I'm just going to talk to these guys to make him feel bad, blah, 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 blah. So she went to talk to these guys, like, oh, you guys are from blah, blah, I know you guys. And then she started drinking with them. And she was, as she was doing all this, she was just eyeing Tevin. And clearly, Tevin was very jealous. And yeah, so anyway, after they pre-gamed, they went to Carnival, and unfortunately she folded because she got too drunk, and then she started drunk talking, saying, oh, you know, I've missed you, let's not argue again, blah, blah. And yeah, so she folded, they got back together, but right now she is free. Hopefully she has healed, and hopefully she'll never go back to that guy. And if that guy ever listens to this podcast, please seek help. You need psychological help. You actually need psychological help. Yeah, okay, this episode is actually, I didn't expect it to be this long, but I'm about to finish. I'm going to talk about my experience in a toxic relationship and some red flags you should look out for. And yeah, so my toxic relationship, it wasn't really a relationship, it was a situationship. And it was with a sunshine nigga. I feel like sunshine niggas are the problem at this point. I don't know what they fed those guys that they became so toxic. But yeah, he was in sunshine. And yeah, so him and I, what should I call him? I'm going to call him is it so hard for Adam? I'm going to call him Adam. So Adam and I have been friends from 2020, but it was always we never met in real life. It was just an online friendship, and it wasn't like a friendship. It was also it was those ones for we just knew each other. Oh, you know Adam, yeah, blah blah, yeah. So we met at Rema. And one of our mutual friends, the one who introduced us to each other, is like, oh, Adam, here's Chiksi, here's Adam. And then we hugged, and then he's like, he started complimenting me, telling me, oh, you look good. And I was like, oh, thank you, blah, 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 blah. And then he's like, okay, I'll text you later. So after that night, we started talking. So I could see, like, something was developing. As I said, it starts off well until you start seeing the red flags. So the thing about me is when I start seeing the red flags, I'll ignore. And yeah, that's a bad habit. So I start seeing the red flags, and I'm like, okay. And it had reached the point where I even started crying over this boy. And if I ever cry over someone, that's how you know it's gotten that bad. And yeah, so this boy was really toxic. He lied to me multiple times, manipulated, guilt-tripped, gaslight. Yani, zote tu. He was just, a liar. Bottom line, he was just a liar. He was not a good person. And yeah, and I'm just thankful that I was able to get out of that relationship, of that whatever that was. Our last, our last arguments were, our last conversations were just arguments, and I was trying to tell him like all these things, like what he did, and he just couldn't. I think he knows it's true, but he doesn't want to accept it, and that's just an L on his side. Anyway, wherever you are, I hope you're not doing well. Yeah, and I pity your next girl. Yeah. Anyway, so that's the end of the stories. And as I finish up, I'm just going to mention some red flags that you should look out for. And in case you're in a relationship that has any of this, please, you need to sit down and ask yourself if it's really worth it. You need to sit down with your partner and talk about it. Yeah. And if you got out of a toxic relationship and you're still healing, I hope you heal well. I hope you reach your full potential. Wait, does that make sense? Okay, never mind. Yeah, I hope you heal well, basically. So, as I had said, some of the red flags I had seen in most of these stories, like gaslighting, yeah, where they manipulate you into thinking you're saying something, you're saying the wrong thing, you saw your own things. So that's the gaslighting. Second one is manipulation. Okay, manipulation, it has a lot of examples, but there's this specific example for when you're about to break up with someone, or when you tell someone, but they may want to break up with you, and then they start telling you, oh, you know, when you break up, if you break up with me, I'll commit suicide. If you break up with me, I'll hurt myself. That's manipulation, because they want you to know, they want you to think that you're hurting them like this so that you can go back to them. You get, and they just continue controlling you like that. They'll know, oh, you're such a vulnerable person, I'll just try you like this and then you'll come back. That's manipulation. And yeah, again, apology without change is manipulation. Third one, guilt tripping. I'm sure you guys know what guilt tripping is. Like I said, they ask you, how can you do this to me? I've done this to you and you're doing this to me. You get, yeah. When they say stuff like you're overreacting when you're trying to communicate. So let's say they've done something wrong, and then when you're trying to communicate, they keep saying, I was on overreacting, just overreacting, like it's not that serious. That's toxic. It's toxic because they don't validate your feelings. They don't understand where you're coming from. Yeah, that's another red flag. If they invalidate your feelings, or if you feel like they're invalidating your feelings, that's a red flag. The fifth one is when they don't do the bare minimum. I'm sure you guys know the bare minimum is things like texting me good morning, good night, and all these things, the bare minimum, basically gifts, dates, that's at bare minimum. So if they don't do those stuff, yeah, red flag. If they reply late, but they're always on social media or online, so they're online and you've texted them, they've left you undelivered, yet they've been watching your stories and all that. They've been posting stories. That's a big red flag, because you're supposed to be their priority. Like, the first thing they do, they should do is text you. If they're not going to be online, it's good to communicate. I know communication is such a cliche term, but it's true. Like, if you're not going to be online, just tell me by the I won't be online. So, yeah, so that I don't feel ignored. You get, yeah. So if they don't communicate, that's another red flag. And when he or she always suggests break up in any argument, you know, the thing is, conflict is inevitable. In any relationship, conflict is inevitable. You can't escape conflict. So it will always reach a point where you argue. And if you guys argue a lot and this guy always or this guy or girl keeps saying, by the way, I'm going to break up with you if you continue like this, that's a red flag, because they're not even thinking about the future. You're not in their future. They just want something to, they want to leave, basically. So, hey, you can, if they ever do that to you, just tell them, by, just save them the work and break up with them right there. Yeah, ndo acha kusema hizo vitu. But yeah, so that was basically the episode for today. I'm hoping you guys enjoyed. Honestly, today I didn't have a good day. I didn't even feel like recording. But here I am. I'm done recording. And yeah. And yeah. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. And yeah, and if you feel like hating, please hate to me. Like, don't talk shit behind my back. I'll find out. And yeah, yeah. So if you're going to hate, my DMs are open. Hey, my DMs are open. So please hate directly. Not, if you want to talk to me directly. Don't go through the corners. Yeah. So I hope you guys have a good day. And I hope you enjoy this episode more than I did. Yeah. So I'm going to update you guys on what next week's episode will be for. And yeah, just, you guys just have a good rest of the week. And yeah, drink responsibly. Stay safe. Bye. I love you guys.